Welcome to Faith Family in the Force. I'm Annabeth.
And I'm Oliver.
Faith Family in the Force is a podcast about just that, our faith, our family, and our experiences as Oliver is in the Air Force.
And on today's episode, we talk about five things to do with your friends. But first, a word from the sponsors. Guys, so on this episode, we are going to be talking about five things to do with friends.
They're super good five things, I would say.
Oh, yeah. I guess you could take this in a lot of different ways. But these are five positive things you can do to just thrive in your friendships and overall just have a good time with friends.
We should do an episode, five things to do to make enemies or
something. Do you have enemies? I like read this Reddit post and it was like, adults don't really have enemies. It's like a kid thing. Like, do you think you as an adult have enemies, or do you think when you like were a kid, you had enemies?
I don't think I did as a kid or an adult.
You're such a peacemaker. That's so sweet. I definitely had enemies as a kid and I don't have as many enemies as an adult. Just kidding. So what is, do you want to start from five and work our way up to number one, or these are in no particular order?
We're going to go one to five. They are in a particular order that I put them in for reasoning.
All right. Well, there we go. We're going to start with the first one. And the first thing to do with your friends is share a meal. So
a meal?
A meal? How do you say it?
You said meal.
What is it?
Meal.
Meal.
That's how it's spelled. It's not spelled M-I-L-L.
All right. So we're sharing a meal. Now I'm really self-conscious on how I say it. So share some food.
Oh my gosh. So this is, I would say, basically the easiest thing you can do with friends, right? And it's something everyone already does with their friends. But I think it's super important.
So do you think eating out at a restaurant versus cooking a food arrangement together? Now I'm just going to completely avoid the word because I don't think I know how to say it anymore. So do you think like cooking together or eating out, or what's your take on how this is so important and why?
I think either one is great, of course. I love having people over to our house for dinner and stuff. I think it's really special to sit around a table, eat some good food, and have good conversation, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But I think eating is like one of the most basic human things to do, right? Like, we all eat, we all have to do it. But since, you know, the beginning of time, people have broken bread together and shared their food. And I don't know, I think there's something really special to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Eve shared an apple with Adam and we all saw how that turned out. I'm kidding. But I agree with Annabeth. I think sharing food and breaking bread just gives people like a sense of vulnerability to then open up, like she mentioned, having that conversation and sense of belonging. It's very primal. It's something they've probably been doing for hundreds and thousands of years, is sharing meals and food together.
And I love, anytime that we have people over, most of the time people always say, what can I bring, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I literally asked somebody that today at work. I was like, hey, you're coming over for dinner on Monday. And they were like, yeah, what can I bring?
Yeah. And I, 99% of the time, will tell them something they can bring. Because, not because I'm like, oh, you know, you're coming over, you have to bring something or whatever. Or like, of course, we're hospitable and we'll provide everything. But I think there's just something cool about like coming together and both bringing a part of the meal. And I don't know, just doing it together and offering up what you have to someone else.
I like that. So last question on the food realm here before we move on. What's your go-to thing to make somebody, to share with somebody in the food type world?
That's kind of hard. Okay. the easiest thing that I make, not, it depends. Okay. Just something to give to people that I'm not like making an elaborate thing when people are coming over, but I love to do at like Thanksgiving and Christmas time. I make the pretzels with the Rolos and pecans, and usually we'll like give those as a little Christmas happy, or if, you know, a thank you, or, you know, whatever. And they're so easy to make, but everyone loves them. They're so good.
I literally am so glad you said that, because I'd forgotten about those, and now I want you to make some like soon.
It's summertime. I don't make them in the summer.
Oh man. It's like, that's the 5 years we've been dating. That's like the consistent thing that you do make. And it is kind of a wintry time for some reason. And I really enjoy that. Okay. So what's the second one?
Okay. Number two is to get outside.
Okay. Like just go outside.
Yes.
So, so I like this one because I think there's something very cool when you get to be with your friends and you go outside and experience the outdoors, a park, the ocean, the mountains, whatever that is, because you get to share that moment and that bigger picture, the grandiose thing, the nature that's just super neat, and you get to be a part of that. And it's okay if your friends don't like going outside. Like, we have some friends who just don't enjoy camping. You've probably heard our camping podcast, and we have some friends who really love camping. But I'm not necessarily going to drag my non-camping friends along. However, those friends love playing disc golf and playing kickball and stuff. So we just find our outside in a little bit different of a space, just because you're outside doesn't necessarily mean you're hiking Mount Everest or camping or doing something extreme, but being out in the sunshine together, I think that's so powerful. Soaking up that vitamin D, the sunny rays, sunburn, sunscreen. I love it.
Yes. I totally agree. I think a couple of things. Well, one, it's just good to get outside, and it can take your friendship to a different level, and it just, I don't know. Different level, I guess, is the best word I can think of. If you go different places, like if you're not just inside all the time, and just going on a walk, going to the beach together, whatever, gives you more opportunity to have open up and have different, deeper conversations because you're in a different environment. And I think that's important.
For sure. I would agree with that. And I think also you like when you're outside, you're getting a little sweaty if you're doing an activity. And that's kind of what we probably do a lot, is if we're going outside, we're playing a sport or there's some sweat involved to it. So you kind of, you have to be vulnerable with each other, and it creates it moves and shifts your comfort zone. Because some people put up barriers and whatnot. And then to kind of break down those barriers among your friends, you get a little sweaty and you get a little competition going and stuff. And that's so healthy, I think.
Yeah. And it might be just what y'all needed. Like a couple weeks ago, our friends and I, instead, we do a Bible study on Wednesday nights. And instead of doing Bible study that night, we went and played kickball. And it was exactly what all of us needed. Not that studying the Bible, we don't need that too, but we all needed to just be outside, sweating a little bit, laughing and having fun together. And it was so awesome.
Okay. So last question about outdoor activities and stuff. What's your go-to thing to do with people outside? Like if you had to kind of narrow it down to a couple things or one or two things, what would you say?
Well, around here, I mean, the beach. It's so easy because it's you can sit there, you can get in the water, you can play games. It's so perfect. Just enjoy the view too and go on a walk on the beach. You can do everything. So definitely that. Now that we have Jude, like I love going on walks with him. So any friend that will go on a walk with me and Jude, like I'm about it. That's awesome. And am I supposed to keep going?
No, that's totally fine. Those two are perfect. I think beaches, especially like in Florida and if anywhere else, like can provide a really good opportunity because there's multiple things to do, as well as there is, I think there's power in walking. And I really hope more and more cities get on board with doing better development for sidewalks and things like that, because it's huge. And I don't mind a little tax dollars here and there going to build better sidewalks so we can walk.
And really, if you live in a place that doesn't have that much to do outside and you're like, what are we going to do with our friends outside? Pretty much anywhere, depending on the time of year, but pretty much anywhere you can go on a walk. You can find a trail or a park or just around your neighborhood.
Absolutely. I love that. So the third one, what is our third one?
This is my favorite one, and it is to celebrate together.
Okay, so when you say celebrate together, what exactly do you mean? I need some clarification because I'm thinking birthday.
That would be included for sure. Celebrate the birthdays, the anniversaries, the promotions at work, the, I don't know, it, like anything and everything. Celebrate it. Celebrate because it's so, I think it's so important, because if you can celebrate together, you are more likely to be able to grieve together when something sad is going on and you need people to grieve with you too. But in our world today, like, there's so much bad stuff and sad stuff. Like, we do need to celebrate everything, even the little things, and find excuses to celebrate. Like, it's fun. Who doesn't like a party? Who doesn't like to, you know, be told that they're doing a good job? And so even if you decide, hey, we're going to have a random party to celebrate Flag Day just because we want to have a party because it sounds fun or whatever. And I think it just is important and to have fun and to have those reasons to celebrate. But also it's important to let your friends know, like, hey, we know it's your birthday and we're really glad that you've been alive for 30 years or whatever. Or, hey, like, you're promoting to captain, or you got, you know, whatever promotion at work, and that's really awesome. And so it doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Like, you can just go out to eat, share a meal, or you can be like, hey, I'm going to bring you a cupcake or something tomorrow, you know? So that, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. All those things you just said, I like it. And my name is Oliver, and I love to party. So, yeah, I think the big misconception, and you kind of hit the nail on the head with that, is that it doesn't have to be super elaborate and big. Like, it can be as simple as getting together and bringing a cupcake from the grocery store or whatever, and just recognizing that, hey, I'm celebrating you and your accomplishment. And I really do believe, because it's way easier to celebrate good things. And I think that leads to a deeper friendship of being able to mourn the sad things, especially the hard things. And it's going to allow you to open up and you do become more intentional, you know. And there's kind of like a theme of these five things, and they kind of all tie together. And it's kind of awesome. I love it. Do you have anything else for celebrate, or you want to move on to the fourth one?
Yeah, we can move on.
All right. The fourth one is kind of like what I was just saying, is to check in and be intentional. I like this one a lot because intentional is kind of like a mega word in our household. Being intentional in our marriage and how we raise our son and what we do with our life and how we glorify God in everything we do, just being intentional. And
so how would you define the word intentional?
I was just about to do that. That's awesome. Yes. So to me, being intentional, like, what that means is that it's not only action based, like a direction, like you're vectoring yourself towards a goal or reason and to have purpose, but you're also like kind of consistently thinking about that. So everything you do resonates with a sense of direction and purpose. So it's more than just action. It's intention and purpose behind it as well. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. And I think a few things. If you are like, yeah, we're friends, you know, but then you never text that person and check in on them. You don't celebrate with them. Y'all don't share meals or, you know, whatever. You go 3 months and you're like, oh man, I haven't even seen them, and, you know, haven't tried or anything like that. And that's easy to do. I'm not hating anyone if that happens, because it's life, right? We have a lot going on. So you have to decide, like, who are those people that we have that deep relationship, that close friendship, that I want to make sure I'm talking to at least once a week, I'm seeing at least once a month, or whatever your intentions are to do. And even if that means, like, you have to write in your planner, like, call Annabeth this week, or like text our group from church so that you'll remember, or set a reminder in your phone or something. Because if you care about those people and that relationship, then you have to take care of that relationship. You can't let it just slide and be pushed on the back burner, or whatever that phrase is. I don't know.
I love it. Absolutely. So this is kind of a deep question, but like, do you think there's different categories of friends? Like, because everyone uses that term really loosely. Oh, that's my friend. That's my best friend. And I think it's like when you're a kid and you say, like, oh, I love that. I love that. I love it. I love pizza. I love McDonald's and all this stuff. You don't really love it. You just like it a lot, or you crave it, or whatever. But like with friends, I think we do that same kind of thing. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. There are different levels, I guess. I think you have just your general friends that you see them. Your friends because you see them. Like, you work together, or you go to church together, or, I don't know, your kids are in the same class or things like that. And you like them, but, you know, if that wasn't the case, then y'all probably wouldn't hang out, you know. And I think that's fine. And you might hang out, or, you know, just general friends. And then you have a little bit closer friends, where you are texting them regularly, hanging out regularly, checking on them. You're going to be there for them if something happens. You're going to go to their kid's birthday party, you know, all of that. And then I think you have your super, super close friends that you will always be friends with no matter what. Always going to be checking in on each other. You're going to go on vacation together. They're who you're calling if something happens to you, that, you know, they would drop everything and come, and they know everything that's going on in your life, basically.
I like that. Maybe we'll do a whole podcast, a deep dive into what is a friend and the different classifications and levels of friendship. But yeah, so the last one, what we said, was check in and be intentional. So the fifth thing to do with your friends, like out of the five, this is the one that you said you put it at number five. And does that mean it's like most important to you, or it just was like the fifth one that you thought of?
No, I just thought that the order just flowed well. That's why I did it.
All right. Well, I love it. So the fifth one we've kind of mentioned throughout all four of them is to have deep conversations and be honest. What does that mean?
Well, I think if you want to have a true friendship, that deep, you know, the closest friendship that I was talking about a second ago, then you can't do that without having those deeper conversations and being honest with each other about how you feel, what's going on in your life. And yeah, I think that's how you create true friendship. Is, I think you can have friendship without that, but not that deep personal connection of friendship without having deeper conversations and being honest with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I do this thing a lot. If you ever get a chance to spend some time with me, I normally ask questions to people, like just off the wall questions, like, you know, if you only had 5 movies on a desert island, what 5 movies would you watch? If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what food would that be? If you only could wear one like outfit for the rest of your life, what would that be? And a lot of these, like, I genuinely care about the answers, but it's so I kind of ask these questions to people so I can get them opening up about their personality and who they are. And for me, it's a way to not crack into their like life and who they are. But with my friends, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, now I have some better perspective of things you're interested in, especially if we're talking about movies and books. And then I can say, oh, you value that movie and you kind of think this way, like that you really enjoy that. And so now I can be more attuned to that and we can have deeper conversations. And I think it's really hard to be honest with a friend sometimes. And it doesn't always come out the way you want it to, because a lot of people, I think in this regard, we'll think of honesty as like calling their friend out when they're not acting this way. Like, let me just be honest with you, bro. You're acting like kind of dumb right now, which there's a time and place for that kind of accountability. But the other honesty comes from like, hey, you're my friend and I care and love, like, I love you. I care about you. And this is, you know, the situation, and you just can speak that kind of truth into their life and lovingly. And ideally it works out and the person is receptive to it and you're giving, coming from a good place with good intentions, because you're checking in and being intentional because you celebrated them and you can have these deep conversations.
Yeah, for sure. And it is scary to be honest with other people about your life and your past and your future dreams and whatever else. But I think usually the risk is worth the reward, and it's really awesome to have those deep friendships. And I encourage everyone to definitely give it a chance if you're nervous about it, or, you know, I say go for it.
For sure. So do you think you can wrap these 5 things you do with friends? Number 1, share a meal. 2, get outside. 3, celebrate. 4, check in and be intentional. 5, have deep conversations, be honest. Do you think you could wrap those up into like an event? Like, what's the ideal situation here? Like, how do you, like, what's the zenith, the peak of this?
Oh man, I think you definitely could. I don't know. I feel like a good example maybe would be like Friendsgiving. Like, you know, that's a common thing that people do now, which I love, because it's like a great way to celebrate your friendship and tell your friends that you're thankful for them. Like, heck yeah. So you could definitely, well, depending on where you are, we're in Florida, so we could eat our Friendsgiving meal outside, right? So some people might not. Maybe you could have Friendsgiving in July, though. You know, who cares? Who says you have to have it in November? Now I forgot what I was saying.
That's all right.
Oh, okay. So anyways, for example, you could have your, you know, gather around, share your meal. Everybody's bringing something. You could do your traditional Thanksgiving food. You could pick a theme. You could do whatever, you know. So share your meal outside. Celebrate each other. Celebrate Friendsgiving or your friendship and being thankful for one another. But then that's a great opportunity to have check in with each other. You're being intentional about spending this time together. But also, like, intentionally say, hey, this is Friendsgiving, so we're gonna all go around and like tell each other truly why we're thankful for each other. And that's just being intentional, being honest, and having, opening up the door for a deeper conversation. And I think it is awkward sometimes to be like, hey, I'm really thankful for you, like, I love you. Like, and that kind of, I think if you haven't done that with a friend before, the first time, that can be really awkward to say to someone. But that's a, like, that's so important. People need to hear that, that they're loved and they're wanted in this world and that they've made a difference even in one person's life.
Wow. I love that. That's so sweet. I love you.
I love you too. Okay. So I do have a question though. What about, 'cause this is focusing more on friends that you live in the same area as, that you can do these things with easily. So what about the friends that are those deep friends that you know you're going to be friends with forever, but they don't live near you anymore?
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about that, because this is very, like you said, geographically located friends who are near you. And so I have a lot of friends who don't live near us anymore. They're in Houston, down in Tampa, just all over the place. And those are friends that I know who are like lifelong friends who will always be there for me and everything. And I have personally like dropped the ball on keeping in contact with them. And I could blame it and come up with all sorts of excuses and stuff, and I'm not going to do that. But at the end of the day, like, things I can do to keep in better check with my friends who are like long distance, a lot of it is going to be me being intentional on talking to them, because you can't really share a meal with someone not being co-located or getting outside. And you can still celebrate via phone call or text message, right? Or a FaceTime or whatever. And you can still check in and be intentional. You can do 3, 4, and 5 and have deep conversations via phone call. And so I think getting those 3 is better than none, right? And then even to that extent, once you, for me at least, getting back into better communication and talking to those people who I may have fallen out of contact with, but who are still lifelong friends, it ideally should lead to us being able to get outside and share a meal, or at a very minimum get together, you know, once a year or however often that we can.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking similar thing. And I think when some people have those friends or the personality where they are going to talk to them like they're long distance friends, I guess, daily or weekly or whatever, but that's not always just possible, you know? So I don't think it's terrible to not be checking in and still be intentional, but you don't have to be checking in on them every week necessarily. But you know, if you've gone a whole month and you're like, oh, I haven't talked to them, you know, in a while, then I would say definitely check on them. And still, like Oliver was saying, you can have those deep conversations and being honest and letting each other know what's going on in your life, especially because they don't really know except for what you put on social media, right? And if you have a friendship that is that important, then they shouldn't be finding out everything from social media. Like, y'all should be contacting each other. And then 2, like Oliver was saying again, you can definitely still celebrate each other. And I know that, like, this is old school, but I think it's so meaningful. And if you send people birthday cards or just thinking about you cards, get well soon cards. Yeah. Like anything like that, to say, like, I took the time to get this card and write in it and mail it to you instead of just sending you a text message. And I think that says a lot.
Yeah. Like just buying a stamp. Oh my goodness. Like that's the whole concept. That's awesome. I love that.
Yes. But also if you don't want to do cards, like, of course you can always send anything like Amazon, right?
Yeah, that's true too. You could get little happies go a long way. I love those. And the 5 things you do with friends, I think you can do those, like we just said, very close friends who are in the same area as you, and you can even expand those out like we've been talking about right now.
Yeah, I think so. And what would you say if you do move and you're trying to make new friends, which we've had an episode about, but you make some friends, but you want to get to that deeper level, so you want to start doing these 5 things more towards 4 and 5, you know, being intentional and having those deep conversations. How do you like approach that?
So for me, I think about it as like working up to it. If you're just starting to hang out with some friends who may be potential friends, and you're kind of just building conversations, you got to do it over food. There's a reason why every single church in the South on Wednesday nights and Sundays, they have food before church, they have food after church. Like, there's food there because there's something about eating a bunch of carbohydrates that give you enough energy to maintain conversation and make people happy to then share, right? I think it's literally scientific, and I'm sure Jesus did it with the disciples. Like, there was always food around. Fact. So I think that's the first step. And the second step is then, like, opening dialogue about it and just kind of not necessarily bringing out of the blue questions like, oh, so what do you think of, you know, insert some crazy topic that is probably too deep for a first time conversation. But like letting the person know that you're genuinely interested in who they are as a person. Like, hey, like, I like all those things that you do. We have a lot of common interests. I think this would be an awesome friendship. It's really awkward just to bluntly, like, you hear it when you like watch elementary kids, like, will you be my friend? Like, you don't do that as an adult. And almost it would be easier just to be like, hey, like, you like all these things. I like all these things. Can we be friends? And then it like very much clears the whole table and all the confusion. And you can start that process kind of, we got to label things, you know, that's just how we do it.
Yeah, for sure. I like that. And yeah, I would say sharing a meal is probably the first step, and getting outside maybe the second step, which is the order we put it in.
So there is your method to your madness.
Right. But if you're sharing a meal, you're getting outside and even celebrating a little bit with each other once you're just starting the friendship, that is opening the door for you to have that intentionality to start checking in and to have those deeper conversations. And so I think maybe there's a method to this madness that we just listed, you know?
Absolutely, guys. So there's our five things to do with your friends. And I'll just say them one more time. The first one is to share a meal, get outside, celebrate, check in, be intentional, and have deep conversations and be honest with each other. And I think if you can do those five things or even a couple of them, it's not only going to create and spark friendship, but continue to nurture and tend the flame of friendship.
Yeah. And I would say, since we gave that example, like, challenge this week or in the next few weeks to not necessarily have a Friendsgiving, but do a meal outside with your friends and tell them why you're thankful for them. And if you do that, let us know. Take a picture, tag us in it, or whatever. I think that'd be so fun.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoy the show.